Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me and the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:13. Welcome to Sound Words with Paul Molnar, pastor of Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem. It's Thursday, February the 17th, and today Paul concludes his series on Jonah with a message called How Not to Learn from the Difficulties of Life. We invite you to open God's Word with us. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
I almost hate it that we've moved through this story of Jonah so quickly, but I do think there can be value of looking at major themes through chapters of a book like this as we go through. In Jonah chapter 4, we find out about Jonah's anger. The repentance of the Ninevites has not made Jonah happy, but angry, exceedingly angry. Verse 1 says, "And he prays to God and admits that actually this is why he had been opposed to doing his mission all along. This is the cause of his initial disobedience. He knew that his God would be gracious and merciful. He knew that his God would abound in steadfast love and resent from disaster. And so he'd rather die than live in a world where God was gracious to his enemies." The subject of anger is a challenging one for many Christians. We recognize that more often than not, our anger is on account of our own sin, and so we often determine for ourselves that all anger is sinful, and this is especially true in regards to being angry at God. I know several people who are angry at Him, and yet none seem to be willing to admit it. They, because they know the Scriptures, say that God is love and that all things work for the good of those who love Him, and they think that their feelings of anger are wrong and could never be expressed openly, so they bury that anger rather than having it resolved and try and simply pretend it's not there. Scripture's teaching on the subject of anger is not nearly so cut and dry as saying all anger is sin. In fact, Paul tells the Ephesians to be angry and do not sin. Be angry and do not sin. And so we're taught that anger can exist apart from sin. Now, we don't have time to do an extensive study on anger, but such a study would show that God is, of course, angered by sin, and specifically by sins of injustice. He's angry when the poor are despised and ignored. He's angry when the widow is not cared for and when the orphan is cast aside. He's angry when business is conducted dishonorably or when one man speaks falsely against another. In fact, the verse immediately preceding Paul's teaching for us not to sin in our anger tells us to put away falsehood and only speak the truth to one another. So while it's a bit of an oversimplification, we can say generally that what makes God angry is injustice. Therefore, we too can be righteously angry at the injustice we see. At the end of Jonah 3, we read about God's response to Nineveh's repentance. Pastor Sinclair Ferguson says that the heart of significance of chapter 4 lies in that contrast between the responses of God and of Jonah to the same event. While Nineveh's repentance causes God to turn away from his anger, it kindles the anger within Jonah. Nothing at this moment could be more offensive to him than the mercy and forgiveness of God toward his enemies. Perhaps Jonah's childish, but we can probably have some compassion for him. After all, his anger is directed at a lack of justice, is it not? The Ninevites were great sinners. They were a city of wicked people. What they deserved was the wrath of God, and yet they received mercy instead. Isn't it this apparent injustice that makes Jonah so angry? Perhaps we should look at the situation more closely. Though the Ninevites were a wicked and sinful people, they had responded correctly to Jonah's preaching, with repentance. From the high king of Nineveh all the way down to the animals themselves, every living thing in Nineveh is said to have repented before the Lord. And so, because Jonah was right about God, that he is gracious and merciful, God had mercy on them and did not pour out his wrath on them. Jonah's error here is that he, fully aware of the character of God, wanted God to act contrary to that character. Jonah's accusation was that God's act of forgiveness was unjust. But the sins of the people of Nineveh did not go without punishment. The punishment they deserved was poured out on Christ. Even without the knowledge of God's justice through Christ, Jonah's assessment of the situation is mistaken. He's forgotten that God's mercy comes to those who are unworthy to receive it, not to those who think themselves worthy. He was so blinded by his hatred for the people of Nineveh that he didn't realize just how similar their situation was to his own. It was clear to all of us, and to Jonah as well, that he did not deserve to be saved from drowning. And yet God came to him in mercy and rescued him. We see the parallel, but Jonah did not. This brings to light another contrast the author of the book wants us to notice, the difference between chapter 2 and chapter 4. In chapter 2, Jonah is responding to God's mercy to him. And so there we find a prayer filled with praise of God, acknowledgement of his sovereignty and goodness, and really humility. But in chapter 4, Jonah is responding to God's mercy toward his enemies, and it's an entirely different matter. In him we see no humility and no praise, only accusation and defense of his previous rebellion. The source of Jonah's anger was that he had a wrong view of himself, and this wrong way of thinking about his own position distorted his view of everything else. And it's been this way since the beginning of the Jonah story. He always thought he knew better than God what needed to be done and how it ought to be done. He's always attempted to maintain control of himself and his surroundings and has never really been willing to rely on God in the ways that he said he would in the prayer in chapter 2. Though he said with his mouth that the Lord was sovereign over all things, it appears that those words were far from his heart. It's okay to be angry at injustice, but God can never be unjust. We do not understand how he chooses the object of his mercy, but the words of Scripture are true when God says, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and compassion on whom I will have compassion." Because Christ's death has borne the wrath of God and the punishment for the sins of all God's elect, there's no injustice here. Sin is punished, and mercy is given. Jonah's problem is not that God is merciful. It's that God is merciful with those Jonah despises. Thus, these good characteristics of God, mercy and compassion, are seen as evil by Jonah when displayed to his enemies. But God's justice is not primarily concerned with the enemies of Jonah or the enemies of you or I. God's justice is concerned with the enemies of God. And when the people of Nineveh, led by their king, humble themselves before the Lord in repentance, he is pleased to call them friends and to grant mercy to them according to his goodness. Though this is unjust in the eyes of Jonah, to God who sees all things clearly, it is perfectly just. Sometimes God has to remind us that he is God and we are not. When we get angry because we think that we have experienced injustice, or we think that God has made a mistake and punished us when we didn't deserve it, or granted mercy to someone who was unworthy, we too need God to step in and remind us about the way things really are. He does this with Job by asking Job, was he involved with the laying of the foundations of the universe? Job remembers that he wasn't involved in that process, and thus he probably should not make charges of injustice against the God who made the world from nothing. Here God responds to Jonah with a question as well. Do you do well to be angry? God continues to be merciful to Jonah despite his self-righteous attitude. Jonah needs some perspective on things, and God is trying to help him find it. Jonah did not understand why God would work that way, and quite often God does things that we don't understand. And so Jonah got angry with God and demanded an answer. While his anger is selfish and inappropriate, it is okay to seek answers from God, to look at his world and try to understand how and to what end God's will is being played out in the world. Sometimes God is gracious to show us why he's done something. Sometimes God is compassionate upon us and helps us to understand why he acted in certain ways. But sometimes his answer is much less specific. Sometimes it's the answer he's trying to lead Jonah toward with his question in verse 4. The same answer he gets Job to understand as well. And it's an answer that we must know and learn to accept. He is God and we are not. Once he's answered the question that way, once we realize that we've reached the limit of our understanding of a particular situation, the question becomes very simple. Will we trust him? When God acts in ways that we don't understand, when he uses methods that are painful for us or doesn't bring about the things we hope for, will we yet trust God? Or will we, like Jonah, wish to die? Will you want no more to do with God because God didn't do what you wanted? Or will you trust that he knows far better than we do, and that he is good to always give us what we need and what brings him glory? Now, Jonah hated the Ninevites, and he wanted God to show no mercy to them, despite all of the mercy that had been shown to him. And God, full of mercy, continues to pour it out on Jonah. Jonah walks away. He puts himself in a situation in the desert where it's hot and he's uncomfortable. The wind blows and it's even hotter. He's pretty miserable. And God takes pity on him and gives Jonah a plant to grow up quickly and provide comfortable shade for him. The Lord blesses him with this, and suddenly Jonah's demeanor changes. We read that he becomes exceedingly glad because of the plant. Notice what a small change it took to significantly affect Jonah's demeanor. But sadly, Jonah fails to learn the lesson here too. He was glad for the plant, but he never for a moment considered its meaning in light of recent events. God does provide for us. He does often give us what we need, but we must be careful to pay attention to his provision and make sure that we're learning the right lessons. It was good for Jonah to love this plant. It would have been appropriate for him to sing a hymn of praise to God for it, but he missed the bigger picture. And so God continues his lesson with Jonah, and he takes the plant away. Just as he appointed a fish for Jonah's good, just as he appointed this plant to grow for Jonah's good, now he appoints a worm to kill this plant for Jonah's good. All things are worked together by God to move us along the path of salvation. Jonah didn't think it was such a good thing that God took his plant away. But remember that Jonah never deserved the plant in the first place. It appeared in a day. Jonah's demeanor is radically affected, both by the giving of this plant and now by the taking of it away. And that's really the tragedy of the story of Jonah. He is wildly driven by his emotions, and his emotions are affected by all the wrong things, or at least in the wrong measure. Why would we expect God to give us things if the things only change our outward condition and have no benefit to our inward condition? The plant made Jonah glad, but it did not make him more thankful or obedient. It did not make him repent. It did not lead him to sanctification. He was still mad about what God had done to Nineveh. He still thought God was unjust. He still had not learned that God is God and can do as he pleases. We don't like to think about God taking things away from us to teach us lessons and draw us closer to him, but it's something he often has to do. If things lead us away from God, he will take them away from us. In fact, if things lead us away from God, he expects us to get rid of them ourselves. Think about Jesus' teaching that if your eye causes you to sin, you should take it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with one eye out than to go to hell with the whole body. When the Lord gives, it's not difficult to feel the way Jonah felt, is it? He was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when the Lord takes away, how do we feel then? Sad? Is that because we hoped in our circumstances and lacked trust in God? Does it make us angry because we thought we deserved the blessing and that God is unjust to take it away from us? Or do we handle these losses in a godly manner, believing it when we say that it's the Lord who gives and the Lord who takes away? When the Lord brings challenges into our lives, take heart and know that he's not just Lord over the giving, but Lord over the taking away as well.
You've been listening to Sound Words with Paul Molnar, pastor of Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem. Sound Words is a ministry of Covenant of Grace, and these daily broadcasts are made possible by the prayers and financial support of our listeners. Visit us online at soundwordsradio.com. You can listen to and download our programs free. Check out the show notes and find links to helpful resources related to today's broadcast. And there's information about supporting this radio ministry with your tax-deductible financial gifts. In exchange for your gift of any amount this month, we'd like to send you a pair of books from the Basics of the Reformed Faith series. Our web address again is soundwordsradio.com. And we would love to have you worship with us this week at Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church. We're located at 508 Harvey Street, one block off Stratford Road in Winston-Salem. Our Sunday morning service begins at 10:30. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow for more Sound Words with Paul Molnar. Until then, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.